at CSUN 2011. This is Michael Off, and we caught up here with Peter, who works out of the San Diego office here of the Social Security Administration, and a program called PASS, which I've already forgot what the acronym is.
Plan to Achieve Self-Support.
Okay, so this is particularly talking about different work incentives that you have that help folks keep their benefits, at least initially, into the transition, because there's always concern about insurance or losing benefits if they're not sure if the employment's going to be there for a while. But what are you promoting or trying to educate people on here today at CSUN?
Well, we just have just the whole gamut of the work incentives that are available to people receiving either Social Security Disability Insurance or SSI, Supplemental Security Income Benefits. We administer two benefit programs, SSI being a federal welfare program, a needs-based program. And so the work incentives that pertain to that program are somewhat different than the work incentives that people receiving Social Security Disability Insurance benefits can receive.
Can we break down what some of that includes?
Let's start with the Social Security Disability Insurance benefit.
SSDI,
the benefit that people earned while they were working primarily. That's who primarily receives that benefit. You can also be receiving those kind of benefits on a parent's record or a spouse's record. But primarily it's people who were working previously. They had earnings. They paid Social Security taxes. They earned a benefit. That's SSDI. A person receiving those sort of benefits makes the decision they want to go back to work. Then there are certain work incentives built into that program that can help them transition into being off of benefits completely. The first work incentive they have available is called the trial work period, or TWP. And now that's a 9-month period. If your earnings are more than $720 in a month, you start using up months of this trial work period. Until you've used all 9 of your trial work period months up, you have done absolutely nothing to jeopardize your Social Security check. You continue to receive that check every month without interruption. Once you've used that 9th month, once you've had earnings of more than $720 in a month for 9 months, and by the way, you have 5 years to use those up. You don't have to be consecutive months. So once you've used that 9th month up, then Social Security has to decide if the work you're doing at that point is what we consider substantial gainful activity. And you start into a different period of time called the extended period of eligibility. It's a 36-month period. People with most disabilities, if their earnings are more than $1,000 a month, during that 36 months, any month that their earnings are over $1,000 a month, they're not eligible for a Social Security check. If their earnings are less than $1,000, they are eligible. If blindness is the disability, then you can earn up to $1,640 a month. So if your earnings are more than $1,640 in a month, no Social Security check. If it's under $1,640, you're still eligible for a check. That goes on for 36 months. At the end of the 36 months, if your earnings are more than that substantial gainful activity level of either $1,000 or $1,640, then and only then would your Social Security disability benefit terminate. But even at that point, even if your Social Security benefits have terminated and you're no longer receiving a check, you keep your Medicare coverage. Medicare continues for an additional good 4.5 years beyond that. So you continue to stay tied to this program for a good 8 to 10 years. It can take a while before you actually see your connection to this benefit program severed at all.
Well, exactly. I had two jobs like that. You started out part-time and I gradually increased, and the pay increased over time. So how does that work if you're paying B and D? So you would pay in the amounts for that. Say you lost all your actual revenue that you would get, your monthly checks, but then you would pay whatever the amount was for parts B and D if you wanted those?
Yes and no. There's in some states, now here in California, we have Medi-Cal program, which is Medicaid in most places. But there are several Medi-Cal programs that if you're eligible for Medi-Cal and Medicare, Medi-Cal pays your Medicare premium. And so you can still be Medi-Cal eligible after your Social Security benefits have terminated, and Medi-Cal continues to pay your Medicare premium for you, even though you're working and you're no longer receiving a benefit from Social Security disability. There's a Medi-Cal program here in the state of California. It's called the 250% of the federal poverty level working disabled program. Okay, so if your earnings from a job, your net earnings actually, after they apply a formula, from a job are less than 250% of the federal poverty level, you can be eligible for Medi-Cal, even though you may not have qualified for it while you were on Social Security. What it comes down to, you can be making about $54,000 a year from a job and qualify for Medi-Cal if you still meet our definition of disability here in California. So if you're Medi-Cal eligible, you still have them paying your Medicare premium for you. Now, with that program, that state program, that state Medi-Cal program, there is a premium involved. It's not a share of cost, but the premium can be no more than $250 a month for a person receiving can get the Medi-Cal coverage that way. The work incentives that we discuss are strictly for the beneficiaries, the people who've made the decision to go back to work. There are certain incentives that are administered by, I believe, the Department of Labor and some other places, you know, that tax breaks and that sort of thing that we don't get involved in.
People should probably check with their own states, it sounds like. There might be...
Yes.
Similar services like Medi-Cal and other states.
Yeah, okay. Medicaid, it's a federally funded program nationwide, but each state has been given the authority to administer it in the way they feel fit. The coverages they offer, what they charge for the coverage, all those sorts of things, those are dependent upon the state where you live.
Talk about SSI, because many people do receive that, and let's talk how it works for them.
Okay, SSI is certainly a different program. So this trial work period, extended period of eligibility, those aren't things that are a part of the SSI program. Basically, since SSI is a needs-based program, if you're meeting your need in some other way, it has to be accounted for right from the time you go back to work. Okay. So, but built into the SSI program are exclusions of income. And there's a general exclusion of income of $20 a month. Regardless of the source of the income, we won't count the first $20 of that income. It would be a benefit, or if you're working and getting paid a wage. But also in that SSI program is what we call an earned income exclusion. Now that's another $65 that we don't count. So let's give you an example. If a person's got a little part-time job and the only income they have is SSI, so they go back to work, get a little part-time job, and that part-time job pays them $585 gross a month, all right? $585 a month. We don't count that, since that's the only income the person has other than SSI, we don't count the first $85 they make. That leaves $500. We knock that in half. We cut that in half. That's $500 is now $250. $250 is how much their SSI is reduced. So on earnings of $585 from a job, they lose only $250 of their SSI benefit. So here in California, most people on SSI, their benefit, they have no other income, is $845 a month. So $845 minus $250, that's how much SSI they would still receive. So you'd get the $585 from the job, plus you'd have the remaining SSI. You always, and I tell this to people all the time, you're always better off working if you're on SSI than if you're not, because you're always going to have more to live on if you're working.
Right, so you got that 2-to-1 ratio.
Right.
So it's not just an instant cutoff, it's all gradual, so your objective is to make more money over time.
Now with SSI, you can be making so much, after we apply the formula to the amount of money that you're making at a job, let's say we apply that formula and the result is that no SSI is payable. There's no benefit left, you know, based on the level of income you have. You do not lose your Medi-Cal. You do not lose that medical benefit. You don't lose that. That's not even jeopardized until you're making in the neighborhood of about $34,000 a year from a job. So, and that's when we would start questioning whether or not you should still remain eligible for Medi-Cal. Again, you'd stay tied to the program. If SSI is the only income you have and you're making enough money to stop that check, you're already making twice as much than if you were just getting an SSI check. Your income is more than twice what it would have otherwise been. Plus, you keep your comprehensive medical coverage under Medi-Cal.
Okay, I assume all this information is available online as well? Or
yes, we have on our website, it's www.socialsecurity.gov. We have a booklet, a pamphlet that we give out. It's called the Red Book for Work Incentives. And so you can just plug in Red Book where it asks for form numbers or whatever on the website. And that'll bring up all the work incentives that are available to both Social Security disability insurance beneficiaries and supplemental security income disability recipients.
Now, are there anything, what about people who may be self-employed? As I guess we're here going back to SSDI.
Both of them. Self-employment is looked at a little bit differently than wages. Wages, it's pretty cut and dried. Here's what you made and that's it. With self-employment income, we look at the net income from self-employment for SSI. So if there's no net, if the business didn't make any money, in other words, the expenses of the business were more than the receipts of the business on an annual basis, then there's no impact on the SSI check at all, regardless of how much business was done. If the net result at the end of the year was a business loss, then there's no effect on the SSI check. Social Security is a little bit different in that if you're putting 80 hours a month into the business, if you're working in the business 80 hours a month, regardless of how much you make or don't make, that can be considered substantial gainful activity, and it could jeopardize your benefit, even though you haven't made anything. If you put that kind of time into the business, that's substantial gainful activity. That's the big difference that you can see in the two programs in that regard.
Wait a minute, so you're saying if you made $2,000 a month and you had $500 of expenses, that even though you might be qualified based on the net income, it was still considered gainful activity?
If blindness is the disability, right. If you had netted from the business $1,500 a month, right. If you put more than 80 hours a month into the business, then yes, that could still be considered substantial gainful activity.
Thank you a lot, Peter, for taking time and explaining these very important issues. At CSUN 2011, for CeroTalk, this is Michael Off.